us at the altar for prayer. Father God, what a great day it is to be in your house today, Lord. What a beautiful morning you've given us. It's cold, but Lord, we just know that your Holy Spirit's going to warm this place up. And God, we thank you for allowing each and every one of us to be here. We want to pray a special prayer for those who are sick and not able to be here today, God, that you'll put your healing touch on them. And Lord, that you will just anoint this place with your Holy Spirit, Father, and let nothing that's said or done, whether it be spoken or sung today, Lord, be about us, but let it all be about you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for the opportunity that we have and the freedom that we have to come here and worship you.
Yes.
Lord, I just ask that you be with Brother Bruce as he brings us a message this morning and open our hearts to receive.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord, for all the many provisions that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for watching over us each and every day, for even, Lord, just even the small things that you see bring our way.
Yes, Lord.
Some things that we take for granted, Lord. There are many people out there that are not fortunate enough to have those little small things that are given to them. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to comfort them.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for the needs that are out there, help to open our eyes to see those needs, and Lord, help us to give us that energy, that desire to go and do something in order to help these people, and we'll carry your word with us as we go, Lord. Father, again, I just want to thank you for all the provisions you give for us, all those many blessings, that even as undeserving as we are, you still see fit to give them to us, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you for that.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. I just want to hope and pray, Lord, that this message that's going to be given today, Lord, you'll speak to his love, Bruce, as he brings it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Our hearts and minds will be challenged, and we know you can change, Father. And Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you've given us, Father. And Lord, may this be a day that glorifies you, Lord. In the holy, precious name of your prayer.
Yes, Lord. Amen. I thank you for this day. The people that are here today, I pick up the Lord and even let you say to you. Thank you so much, Lord, for letting us get out this day and give voice to you. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you do for us this day. We don't have our fellowship. We celebrate this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Now, Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen.
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 Okay, now for our morning hymn, let's all get our hymnals and turn to page 107. We'll sing all three verses of Love Lifted Me. 107.
Oh,
be seated.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Tim for doing an awesome job on the piano today in Della's absence. Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise for that. Always love to hear Tim play. All right, guys. Anybody, anything good happened this week? All right, Amanda.
All right, so I got my CNA license back in December, and I wasn't going to get a job until this coming up here. And this coming Thursday, I have orientation over at Greenpoint Health. I'll be working on
it. Amen.
Anybody else? Anything good you want to share that's happened in the last week or so? Anyone? Sure, somebody else had something good happened to them this week.
Jack.
Amen.
We had plenty of rain.
Yes, we had some rain. How about 5 inches, as a matter of fact? Not what?
No snow.
No snow. Much to the chagrin of all the big kids and the little kids. All right. Anybody else? Anything good?
I need a microphone, I don't think, but we were real excited. Several weeks back, Mason was selected to play in a Georgia and South Carolina. It's called the Border Bowl in Augusta. This year at Washington Wilkes has been good, and so he was one of the three seniors from Washington Wilkes to be playing in that game. So that's next Saturday, so we'll be going down to watch him, just watch over him this week as they go to practice.
Amen. That's great. Give him a hand for that. Anybody else? Anybody want to just take a microphone and go around and do this for me? Anyone? Come on now, let's somebody say something good happen. Jake, you have something good happen this week?
Well, we'll go back to school tomorrow, which means we'll graduate sooner.
Amen, brother. I like that philosophy. Go back to school this week, graduate. That means graduation's a lot sooner than it used to be. Amen.
So is retirement.
Amen. Get closer by the minute. Anybody else? I don't want to shortchange anybody. It's always good to share the good things that God's doing in your lives. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to do, is talk it up and let everybody know what God's doing, some great things in your life. How many of you made a few New Year's resolutions? Anyone?
I did.
What was there, Lisa?
A New Year's resolution, I am not going to stop eating candy this year. I know I can keep that one.
Okay, she kind of used a negative New Year's resolution. She's not going to stop eating candy. I like that, okay.
Hey, at least I can keep it.
That's right, you know. Hey. Shape you want me to get in there, Doc. But anybody else have anything you want to share? Yes.
Ladies met out here too tonight. We had a good fellowship.
Amen. Good fellowship time.
Why don't the ladies come join us?
WMU, we usually meet the first Monday of the month, is that right?
It's fine.
But they met Tuesday this time. But hey, we'd love for all of our ladies to come and be a part of that. At least 6:30, we'll be sure to announce those times and dates. Amen. Anybody else? Yes.
They had the awards that elevated this week. You got to make the high A on the road. You want to make the AD on the road. You have to make the high A on the road.
Amen. We'll get this thing going here.
Okay, for our offertory hymn, let's stand and turn to page 223, Nothing But the Blood. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. 223.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Dear Lord, we come to you as always with grateful hearts for all the many blessings that you bring upon us. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us the ability to be here in your house today and worship in your word.
Yes.
Dear Lord, be with Brother Bruce as he brings your word to us, the word that you have laid upon his heart. Dear Lord, we pray that you be with all these individuals who have suffered tragedies.
Yes.
Guide them, dear Lord, put your hand upon them and show them your comfort.
Yes.
Dear Lord, we pray at this time that you be with the men and women of our armed forces.
Yes.
Our public safety here on the home front. Guide them, keep them safe, bring them home to their loved ones, if it be your will.
Yes, sir.
Dear Lord, at this time, we bring part of the blessings back to you that you have cast upon us this week.
Yes,
dear Lord, take these tithes, offerings, and multiply them,
yes,
that they may somehow help in our religious effort that we may serve you.
Yes.
Thank you, dear Lord, for all your many blessings. Amen.
Amen.
God's love. as everybody's getting back to their seats, we have been very blessed to have Tim Simons come and join us this morning. And we were also blessed as a church several years ago to have this baby grand piano donated to us. And, you know, everybody has a different way of playing, and Tim's way is unique. And so I've asked him this morning to continue, and just we're going to have a little mini recital from him. So I hope y'all enjoy these next few minutes. And we thank you again for coming. Thank you.
Louis, just please introduce you, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
She's getting all excited here, thinking I'm going to cut her out of the program, amen? Louise has got something she wants to share with us today, as far as like a quiet time devotional kind of thing, just to talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to let Louise do that right now.
Bruce has preached on this before, but I never really understood it until Greg and Beth gave me a devotional Christmas. And on day one, I was reading the devotional, and it touched my heart, and I want to share that with y'all. It says, be still and learn. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That comes from Psalms 1, verse 2. Quiet time to learn of God's ways requires discipline. Yet our daily routine cries for our attention. We find ourselves with too much to do, the ticking clock constantly in our ears.
Right.
Our loved ones cannot be ignored. Duty calls. There are meals to prepare, medicine to dispense, and clothes to arrange. When is there time for God? It's easy to put our quiet time with God on the back burner. But the very thing we need most, hope, only the Lord can feel. He understands our exhaustions and frustrations. He feels our pain and our sadness. He's waiting to extend grace when we call upon him. Our quiet time, reading scripture and praying, is like water on a sponge. It fills us and expands our ability to keep going. It strengthens us for the day. It empowers us to fulfill what God requires. Don't let the call of your duties drown out the need for quiet time. Discipline yourself to set aside a few minutes for the Lord. He is our hope, our salvation. We need his fellowship. To neglect that time is dangerous.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Louise. All right. Amen. Guys, it is so important to set aside some time with the Lord each and every day. Reading God's Word, studying the Word, praying. There's no greater tool that we as a believer have than that quiet time alone with the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in God's house? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I'm glad to be here this second Sunday of the new year. I hope you guys are getting your year going in the right direction, because guess what? It's fixing to take off whether we're ready or not. Amen. It's fixing to take off and move. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you glad we got God's Word to stand on? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, there are a lot of things that we can turn to in this world, but none that will give us any direction like God's Word. Amen. It's going to always give us it truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We just got to stay in it, and we got to believe what it says, and we got to do what it says. In order to live that blessed life and that fulfilled life. Well, guys, I want to encourage you, if you have your bulletin, and if some of you didn't get one, we've got some extra copies here. We started doing the sermon notes. Those of you that like to take notes inside your bulletin, there should be some. If you didn't get any and you want a set of them, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll come around and we'll be sure and give you one. Is there anybody that did not get a set of that? If you want to, we want to encourage you to take these down, reflect on them in the next week or so, and pull them back out whenever you need some encouragement in this area. But we're going to talk about the power of integrity today. And I know that this is God's message. You know how I know this is the right message? Because I was kind of going back and forth this morning, and I heard the youth's lesson a little bit. I don't know what the title of it was, but I know a lot of what they were talking about was integrity. Doing the right thing when people are not looking at you, and making the right decisions. So guys, when those things line up, you can rest assured that God's got a message for somebody today. Amen. He's got a message for somebody today. And I want that message to be for you and for you and for you and for you and for everybody out here today. Guys, I'm excited about this new year. I really am. I just hope and pray that you'll understand that in order for this year to be different than last year, we cannot be the same believers we were last year. We've got to make some changes.
We've got to do some things differently. And one of the things we need to focus on is our integrity. You might say, well, preacher, what do you mean by integrity? Well, guys, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. In other words, integrity is doing the right thing even when people aren't looking at you. Because, guys, I want you to always remember this. God's eyes are on you. God's eyes see everything that you're doing. He knows your thoughts. Now, that's scary, isn't it? I was like, Lord, could you have at least let us have that part and not know all of that too? But, hey, he knows everything. So integrity is that quality of being honest and morally upright, no matter what the situation is. I want to read a few verses this morning, then we're going to get into this message today. From 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to focus on verses 11 through 25, but I'm only going to read 11 through 16. I'm going to ask those of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to begin with verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Father God, I ask you, Lord, to please add your blessings to the reading of your word. Now, Lord, in the next few minutes, just empty myself of me, Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, let me bring this message the way you want it to be brought, and let it glorify you in everything that's said here, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, we're going to refer back to that scripture, so kind of hold that place there, because we're going to go back to that scripture throughout this message here. Guys, it shouldn't matter as a believer whether somebody's looking at you or not, amen? It shouldn't matter whether you're out in public somewhere or whether you're in God's house or whether you're over there by yourself somewhere. We should be the same people at all times. See, that's what integrity is all about. But you know, there are a lot of born-again believers who don't show good integrity sometimes, and that's what I want to talk about this morning with you. This characteristic should be shown whether they're watching us or whether we're all alone. Guys, integrity is one of the most important qualities that a believer can exhibit at any time. I firmly believe that. Integrity is one of the most important qualities that a believer can exhibit at any time. Guys, you know what integrity can do for you? Verse 11 says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Guys, we cannot be worried about the works of the flesh. We cannot be worried about fleshly things. We got to stay focused on what God has laid out for us and how he's mapped our lives out. We can't be worried about getting the biggest house. We can't be worried about getting the biggest car. We can't be worried about wearing the fanciest clothes. We got to be focused on what God has laid out for us. And a big portion of that is going to be guided through our integrity. We got to have it, guys. God's word encourages us to keep away from worldly desires. Guys, we got to keep away from worldly desires. We have got too many people that roll up in the church house every Sunday and they're still back in that world Monday through Saturday. Guys, we got to get out of that world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Can I get a witness? Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But too many of us are too much in this world. We got to get out of this world. If you want to get on board with Jesus, you got to get out of this world, amen? You got to move away from these lustful things and these fleshly things, these worldly desires. Guys, there's times where people are going to try to accuse you of something falsely. How many of you have ever been accused of something falsely in your life? Raise your hand. I know I have before. Many people raise their hands in here. How did that make you feel? Somebody want to just share an emotion you felt? Angry. What else? Hurt. What else?
Bitter.
Okay, those are three great ones. Angry, hurt, bitter. When someone accuses you falsely of something you know you did not do, then you feel these emotions, don't you? Unless you're a man or woman of great integrity. Of great integrity. Because let me tell you something. Look at verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. In other words, whereas they accuse you of doing something bad. Look at this right here. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, live your life with such integrity that if someone accuses you of something, they're not going to believe it. The world's not going to believe it. You know why? Because I know that man. I know that woman. They are great people of integrity. I just don't believe that. I've had people try to tell me that so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. You know what? Because I knew that those people were great people of integrity, it did not even faze me when I heard somebody say that. Amen? Amen? So let me tell you something. I don't care what you say about me, because I'm going to try to be a man of integrity. I'm going to be the same whether I'm here, I'm going to be the same out there, and I'm going to always be focused and conscious on who I'm trying to represent. Amen? And I want to encourage everybody to do that, because guys, if you live your life that way, it doesn't matter who accuses you of something. If it's false accusation, no one should believe it. Amen? Amen. Can I get a witness up in here today? Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm telling you right now, if you live your life the way that God wants you to live it, a man or woman of great integrity, then nobody is going to ever have anything to say falsely against you that anyone will put any value in. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. But guys, I'm going to tell you this. Guess what? They did it to Jesus. They did it to Jesus, so we can expect it as well. The same thing happened to Jesus. They falsely accused Jesus, didn't they? They said he was a deceiver. They said, you're the devil. They said, you're a liar. They said, you're a blasphemer. But guess what? He wasn't any of those. He wasn't any of those. And the way that Jesus reacted should be the way that we react to these things as well. And we're going to talk about that too in just a minute. Guys, we should prepare ourselves for this and live properly. Live properly among our unbelieving neighbors. Guys, we got to learn to live properly among our unbelieving neighbors. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I live a good life. I come to church. I read my Bible. Yeah, but what are you doing when eyes aren't on you? What are you doing out there in public to let people know that you're living properly among this unbelieving world in which we live? Can people see a difference in you? Or when they look at you, do they just simply see a reflection of the world? Because I'm going to tell you what, guys. I'm going to keep preaching this as long as I'm up here. Guys, as long as you keep dragging one foot in this world, you're never going to get where God wants you to be. Amen. You're never going to get there. You may think you will, but you won't. Because as long as you keep letting darkness hang on to you, you're never going to get truly in that light where Jesus can work through you. And do great things through you. Amen? You can't. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If we do that, guys, then they will see good things that you do and people won't believe those accusations. Guys, if we act properly among our unbelieving neighbors, then no one's going to believe those accusations that have been brought against you. We read that in verse 12. Our honorable lives should silence ignorant people who make up lies against us. Look at verse 15. It says, for so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Look at how the Bible's describing these people. Foolish men. If you're living your life, a life full of integrity, moral value, moral uprightness, then these people are going to seem foolish in the world. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Because you know what? If anybody were to come up here and, you know, there's certain people that you know, man, they're just grounded in their faith. If somebody were to try to say, oh, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, you know good and well you wouldn't even think that that was even remotely possible, right? You know people like that. That's the way we ought to be living our lives, guys. Look at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Guys, the next thing we got to focus on is this. If we're going to be great people of integrity, here's something else we got to do. We're to respect all human authority. Guys, that's biblical. These people that run around here saying, well, I don't have to obey the laws of this land. Well, if you're obeying God's word, you do, amen. Because God's word clearly says we must obey all human authority. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Is that just the police? Is that this? No, that can be anything that is in authority over us at any given time. It could be your teachers, your parents, the police, the governor, the local officials, the president, all of these people that are in authority. We are supposed to respect all of them. Now, guys, that doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they do, right? I don't agree with everything everybody does, but guess what? Biblically, I do not have the right to go out and rewrite the laws of Georgia. I can't go out and do that without ramifications from that if I get caught, right? So you see, guys, we're to respect all human authority. This means our parents, teachers, law enforcement, government officials, all of these people. We as believers cannot break the laws of our land and be pleasing in God's sight. Guys, let me harp on that for a little bit right here. You know how integrity enters into this right here? And I want you to just think about this for a minute. If you've ever gone into a place and you've, now it's hard to do this now because they have all these scanners that go off if you walk out of a place trying to steal something, right? But think about this. Have you ever gone into a place before those things were invented and created and just said, I just want a pack of that and just put it in your pocket and walk out of that store? I want you to think about this for a minute because, guys, that's what integrity is all about. Integrity is about doing the right thing and not letting Satan get into you to the point where he drives you to do something that goes against the authority of the land. How many times have people done things that were wrong out in public? Well, everybody else was doing it. Well, guys, that's why we're called to be above everybody else as born again believers. Amen. Amen. We're called, can I get a witness? Amen. We're called to be above that. We cannot blend in with that. That's part of the problem we got in the world today. People can't tell the God-fearing people from the worldly people. They can't tell a difference. You know why? Because we're not showing them one. We're not showing it to them. Y'all wake up in God's house today. If you're asleep, say amen. If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
All right then. Well, we're going to keep going then. I'll catch you in a minute because every time if I'm going real fast, if you're listening, if you're asleep, say amen. Sometimes I get five or six people say amen. But anyhow, we're going to keep on moving, right? But guys, we're to respect all human authority. You cannot continue to break the laws of the land and expect to be pleasing in God's eyes. It's not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're a true born-again believer, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you until you get that right. Now, I shared with you a situation of when I was in college, when I wasn't exactly living my life for the Lord like I should. We went in, and some of you weren't here that day, so I'm going to share it again because it goes along with integrity. We went into this place. How many of you remember Old Shoney's over in Athens? It's not there anymore, but we used to go eat there a lot. But this particular night, we didn't have any money. So we felt like, well, we'll go eat anyway. Okay? Hey, usually in the world, if you don't have any money, you go to a restaurant, you're not going to eat, right? But we had concocted this plan. We're going to go in, we're going to sit down, we're going to eat, and then we're going to one at a time act like we're going to the restroom until everybody gets up and leaves and we ain't going to pay for it. You know what? I participated in that. I'm ashamed to say I've asked God to forgive me of that and cleanse me of that. But that next week, the Holy Spirit of God convicted me so bad that I got the address of that Shoney's and I sent them the money that I should have paid for that meal the night I was there. And I just wrote a letter. I said, let me tell you something. I'm under such conviction. I stole a meal from you. I'm sorry I did it. Here's the money. Now, whoever opened that envelope may have took because it was cash. You know, I didn't fool with checks back in those days, amen. They might have just took it and put it in their pocket, but at least I did what I felt the Holy Spirit was convicting me to do. But guys, the thing was, I shouldn't have done it to begin with. I shouldn't have been hanging around with those worldly people to begin with because that's what led me into doing that kind of stuff. Because of this fact, we should not use our freedom as an excuse to do evil. We should not use our freedom as an excuse to do evil. Verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Guys, we cannot use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to do bad things. You know what? Some people really get the dispensation of grace confused sometimes. We are covered by God's grace if you're a born-again believer. Amen. How many of you understand that? Say amen. Amen. We are covered by His grace. What that means is, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, if we call on His name and we ask Him into our hearts and we accept Him as our Savior, we are covered by His grace for the rest of our life here on this earth. But that does not give us a free ticket to go out and do wrong. You cannot live in a sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess cycle. You have got to live in as sin-free an environment as you can when you're a born-again believer, because eyes are watching you. There's so many misconstrued messages that are sent from believers to worldly people every day. They're confused. They don't know what to think. Sometimes in our lives, we're going to be treated unfairly. Guys, I hate to tell you, but life isn't fair. Amen. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. I didn't hear you. Say amen. Amen. I still didn't hear you. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I hear you now, brother. Yeah, life is unfair. Amen. But guess what? It doesn't give us a right to run our lips out and pout and mope about. Life is going to be unfair. You know why? Because man introduced sin into this world. So life is going to be unfair from now on, as long as we're here. But guess what? It wasn't fair to Jesus either, was it? It wasn't fair to Jesus either. Let me tell you something. Jesus certainly was treated unfairly many times, but He never retaliated. He never retaliated. He never tried to get back at those who were doing wrong to Him. Guys, let me tell you something. I know a lot of us, myself included, sometimes face unfair things in life. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't seem fair to me to lose my son. That didn't seem fair to me. But that wasn't my call. So I've got to accept that as the will of God. And I can't get mad about it. I can't say, well, God's dead. He's not for real. He shouldn't have let that happen. But guys, I'm going to tell you what. We have got to understand that there's going to be times in our life where things aren't going to be fair. We're not going to think they're fair. But you got to cling to Romans 8:28, which says, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody ought to shout on that one. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I don't care what's happening in your life as a believer. If it's not a good thing, if it seems unfair to you, if you'll be patient and you will not retaliate, God's going to work something good out of it. Amen.
Amen.
I've always seen it happen that way. God is pleased with us when we do what is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. God's pleased with us when we endure unfair treatment patiently. Look at verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. And verse 20 says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Guys, if we know, in other words, here's what this scripture's saying. If we know we're guilty of doing something wrong and we patiently accept our punishment, what good is that? We knew we deserved it, right? Let me tell you what in God's eyes is great. When you are being treated unfairly and you still patiently accept what's happening to you, amen? That's what it's all about. That's what it's about. That is what wins God's favor. That is where God's eyes are focused on you and He's pleased with you. Guys, God's pleased with when we do what's right and patiently endure that unfair treatment. If we can learn to endure suffering for doing good and patiently endure it, God's going to be pleased with us. This doesn't mean that God wants you to stay in the situation that you're continuously being treated unfairly in. I want you to understand that. God does not intend for you to stay in that unfair situation. For those of you following with me, I'm down here in that last bullet. I'm down in that last bulleted item on the first page. But guys, let me tell you something. I know some of you are in unfair situations maybe in your life right now. You don't think it's fair that you are doing good, but you're surrounded by people who may not be. Guys, let me tell you, you got to endure that patiently for now, because I'm going to tell you this, it's not God's will. Think about it, folks. Let's use some common sense here. Do you think God really wants you to live your life feeling miserable and mistreated for your whole entire life? We don't serve a God like that. But I'm going to tell you something. He will use those times in your life to prepare you for something great. That's where we got to learn to have patience. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't want you to stay in that situation, but he wants you to be patient while he works out his plan for you. While he works out his plan for you. Guys, he wants to work out his plan for you, and while he's doing that, you must be patient and you must endure sometimes some unfair treatment in your life. Amen? You got to do it. It's going to happen. You cannot avoid that. Guys, if you're a born-again believer, you are going to face unfairness, and you're going to feel like at times you have not been treated right. But guess what? Jesus wasn't either. Amen? Who are we supposed to be modeling ourselves after? Jesus. Say it loud.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
We're supposed to be modeling ourselves after Jesus, the Son of the living God. And if we're modeling ourselves after Him, we're going to be treated unfairly. We're going to face suffering sometimes. But guess what? In the end, we got a crown laid up for us. Amen. We got a crown like no other crown that this world could ever think about giving you, that one day you're going to get to inherit if you finish the course, if you fight the good fight, if you finish the race. Amen. That's what it's all about. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. We're all called to do good, even if it means we will suffer for it, just as Jesus suffered for us. Verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Did y'all hear what that said? Let me read that again. Because all these people are like, "Oh, well, God's unfair. God shouldn't do that to me. God's not right. He's picking on me." It says here, I'm going to read the second part of this. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." In other words, because Christ suffered for us, that was the example he showed. And how he responded to that suffering is how we ought to react in our life. That's how we ought to react. See, Jesus is our example, and we must follow in his steps. Guys, do you realize something? Jesus never sinned nor deceived anyone. Jesus never sinned nor deceived anyone. Verse 22 said, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." In other words, deception. Guile means deception. So here's two facts right here. So you think you're being treated unfairly? How about Jesus? He never sinned and he never deceived anybody. Yet he was treated as bad as anyone could be treated by the people he was surrounded with. He was treated poorly, right? But guys, guess what? He didn't sin and he was not a deceiver. He did not deceive people. We should always think back to what Jesus would do in our situations in life. Jesus never retaliated. Now, when he was insulted, guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's hard. That's a hard pill for believers to swallow, isn't it? Because when somebody gets up in our face, what do we want to do? We want to get back on them. We want to get right back. We want to fire right back on them. And guys, I don't believe in being a pushover and let people run over you and treat you like you're a doormat. But I do believe in showing them the love of Jesus and use Jesus as your example. You know why Jesus said, turning to them the other cheek as well when you're facing a conflict? See, a lot of people believe that this verse means if somebody walks up and slaps you, you should just turn around and let them slap you again. You know what I really believe that verse is telling us? When you face unfair situations in life, then turn away from them. Let them keep going after you. But you don't go back after them. Now, certainly, if somebody's got, I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody got a gun pointed in your face, you can do one of two things. You can say, "Oh, that's a nice weapon you've got there." Or you can fight for your life, amen? And I suggest you be fighting for your life at that point in time. But guys, when you're asked to turn the other cheek, what I believe Jesus is telling us here is, do the right thing and don't get involved in that controversy. Do the right thing and don't get involved in that altercation. See, if you turn, I've never seen too many people that when somebody was wanting to try to start something with them, if they just turned around and said, you know what, I'm not going to get involved with that, and they just walked off, maybe every now and then they'd jump on them and beat them up anyway. But most of the time, guess what? They're not going to, that's not going to fit into their profile. They're not going to do that. So guys, that's what we got to do. Jesus never retaliated when he was insulted. He never threatened to seek revenge. He never threatened to seek revenge. Rather, he left his case in the hands of God, his Father, who always judges fairly. Look at verse 23. We're almost done here. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. In other words, when he was treated wrong, he didn't treat others wrong. When he suffered, he threatened not. In other words, when he was suffering for his Father's sake and for his Father's name's sake, he didn't threaten people. He didn't return that. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who's he talking about there? God the Father, right? That's who he committed all that to. He said, Father, in your hands I'm going to put all this, because you know why? They're saying I'm a deceiver. There's some of them are even saying I'm the devil. Some of them are calling me a blasphemer. Some of them are saying all kind of lies about me, but I'm going to turn that over to you. And guess what? I would hate to be in those people's shoes come judgment day. Amen. And guys, I want you to understand that too. Some of you better get your life straight. I'm just going to shoot straight from the hip. I know some of y'all asleep. You didn't even flinch when I did that. Man, I'd have been on the floor if somebody had done that up here. This crazy preacher up here pulling something out of his pocket. But guys, I'm going to shoot straight from the hip. Some of you better get your life right before it's too late. Amen. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I went to a funeral of an ex-student of mine yesterday, 35 years old. Died. Good person. Good. He rode around, helped me around with sports medicine and stuff. Just a good person. He was sitting right here in July at our youth revival playing the drums right here. Right there. Now he's gone on to be with the Lord. Thank God he was saved. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's the only good thing that is come out of this, is the fact that he's saved and he's now no longer suffering from anything that might have caused his death. But I say that to say this, guys, we got to get our lives in order. I'm going to keep preaching that because there are people sitting right here today that are not saved, and I don't want you to wait until it's too late. Amen. You know it when Jesus lives in your heart. You know why? Because in the book of 1 John it says those who know the Lord are not going to continue to sin. You're not going to continue to live in that kind of lifestyle. And it's okay. You know what's keeping some people from coming down here and showing great integrity and saying, you know what, I haven't been who I thought I was, and I really need to have you as my Savior, Lord. You know what's keeping them from doing that? It's a five-letter word. Pride. Pride. They're saying, well, if I walk down there, people are going to, what are they going to think? Because I've been a deacon in the church for 30 years. I've been a Sunday school teacher for 40 years. Well, guess what? You're going to be burning in hell for eternity if you don't get right. Amen. Guys, you can't be prideful when it comes to getting your life right with the Lord. You cannot let that stand in the way. Now, let's look on here. Brothers and sisters, when we prevent ourselves from seeking revenge or losing our cool in a situation, we show great integrity during those stressful situations. And although you may not think so, guess what? That world's taking note of that. That world is taking note of that. Don't think that people out there in that world, when you react in a way that would not be a worldly way to a situation, they know that. They see that. And that is an impression that they will remember. But if they see you react like everybody else, then you're just one of the rest of the gang out here. You're just another one of them. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. In other words, live a life full of integrity. Jesus carried our sins in his body to that cross so that we could have an opportunity at everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I could never give anybody a gift better than that. Amen? That's just a gift you can't give better than that. You can't give a gift better than that. And then as we close out this message here today, let's look at verse 24. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, in other words, the cross, that we being dead to sins. In other words, guys, do you understand if Jesus hadn't come and did what he did, if God hadn't chosen to do that, we would be dead unto our sin. In other words, we'd end up in hell. There would be no hope for us. But look at what he says here. Should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. Woo! That ought to be something to say amen about right there. Amen. How many of you glad that Jesus took those stripes for you so you didn't have to take them? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I sure am. Because I don't know if I could endure all that punishment, all that unfair treatment that Jesus got. Amen. He didn't even raise an eyebrow. He didn't say one word. We get upset with somebody in this world. They cross into our little space here. We get mad at them. We sulk. We pout. Guys, that's not being godly. That's being worldly. Step up to the plate and be men and women of God. Step up to the plate. Guys, we were once like sheep who wandered away, but now we've turned to our shepherd, the guardian of our souls. We were once like sheep. We turned away from God. We wandered away, but guess what? Jesus never lost sight of you. He wasn't going to grab you and force you to come back, but guess what? He was right behind those sheep as they wandered away. And he's ready for you to come back to him, the guardian of our souls. Guys, there's three things as I close today that I believe we have got to do if we want to live with integrity in 2017 and the rest of our lives. I'm going to summarize what I talked about today. Number one, you got to guard your private life by staying away from worldly desires. You got to guard your private life by staying away from worldly desires. You got to stay away from them. Worldly desires, wealth, fame, fortune, who cares? What you going to take with you when you die? Not one thing of all these worldly things that everybody puts all this faith in. So what if you got a $100,000 car? You going to be in a $10,000 casket just like everybody else. You ain't carrying nothing with you, amen? Bet and see that. See if they get you a gold-plated casket when you die. When they start thinking of that money they fix to inherit. No, you may be cremated, amen? I'm just going to be honest with you. Hey, you may even get thrown out in the backyard, amen? Number two, you got to guard your public life by yielding to those in authority. Guard your public life by yielding to those in authority. You can't take the law in your own hands. You cannot commit evil just because you're saved and covered by the blood of Jesus. Good Lord, that doesn't even make sense, does it? And number three, you got to guard your conscience by always doing right, regardless of the cost. You hear what I said? Young people, always do right, regardless of the cost. Guys, if you've been dishonest about something and the Holy Spirit's convicting you, it may mean you get fired from your job. But at least in God's eyes, you did the right thing. And guess what? I guarantee you, he'll have another job waiting on you. Amen. Always do what's right, no matter the cost. Guys, I want to close by saying this today. I'm not going to go searching through the offering plate, but I'm going to tell you something. This morning, I was like, okay, I'm talking about integrity, so I'm going to give us a little integrity test here. I went outside and I threw a $5 bill down on the ground, right outside the doorway there. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back in 10 minutes and see if it's still there. And it was gone. Guess what? We got some good people of integrity here in this church. Because I'm happy to... I even wrote integrity on the back of that $5 bill, amen, to make sure you understood. You got it. Oh, yeah, the preacher was fixing to nail somebody today. But guess what? You passed the test. Amen. Give a hand clap of praise to that, amen. Let me tell you, the minute I walked into the door, and I'm gonna lift him up. Brother Wayne walked up to me and said, I'm going to put this in the offering plate. Somebody dropped it outside on the ground. Put it in there. Amen.
Amen.
I was like, oh, Lord, we do have good folks here at Bethesda. Amen.
Amen.
Because I already had lined up what I was going to say if somebody put that thing in their pocket. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. You would have felt like you could have crawled under that door frame when you got out of here today, amen. You'd have threw that $5 bill out the window when you left from here. But guys, I did that just to try to illustrate to you what I'm talking about. That's integrity. That's what you do when eyes are not on you. How many of you been walking behind somebody at school, at the mall, or somewhere, and money falls out of their pocket? You got a decision you got to make. Am I going to pick it up and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, you dropped this? I've done that many times. I just want to let you know. But I've also seen people who kind of, let me pick that up, put it in their pocket, and just keep on walking. Guys, that's integrity. What you do when the world's eyes aren't on you defines who you are in Christ. Amen. You remember that. So when that poor person who's worked all week and they reach in their pocket to get something and $200 or $300 falls out of their pocket and you see it, do the right thing, no matter the cost. You may not have any food to eat that week, but guess what? You're going to store up some spiritual food for what you did, amen? That's what you're going to do. So guys, I want to encourage you to do that. We're called to be men and women of integrity. I want to challenge each and every one of you to work in this new year on being great men and women of integrity for the Lord. Do what Jesus would do at all times, whether eyes are on you or not. Look at what Matthew 5, 13, 14, and 16 tells us. These are parts of those verses. Jesus tells us that we're the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We should let our light shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we are as believers. The salt of the earth. The light of the world. What does salt do? It flavors, right? Makes things better. Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing in this lost and dying world we're living in. We're not supposed to be making it worse. We're supposed to be making it better. What does light do? It casts out darkness, amen. Get out of the darkness in 2017 and move in the light, amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to do that. Some of you, I talked last week about those private sins that you keep hanging on to. Get rid of them. Lay them at the foot of the cross when we have a minute up here. Come and confess. Clean your heart and soul out. You don't have to tell me anything. You come right up here and you talk straight to the master, amen. And guys, let me tell you something. As always, in order to maintain that great integrity, you remember what one of my theme sayings is. Bad company corrupts good character. Some of you need to get rid of some people you're hanging around with in 2017. If you want to be the men and women that God wants you to be. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, thank you for allowing me to deliver your word. Lord, I hope I did it in a pleasing way to you. And God, you stepped on my toes to begin with this sermon. And Lord, I had to get some things right in my life before I could bring this message to the people today. But Lord, I love each and every person that's here. But Lord, I love them too much to leave them where they are. Lord, I want them to move where you want us to be. And God, that's my prayer for this year, that we'll continue moving in that direction, that we'll continue to challenge ourselves. And Lord, that you'll get all the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? 474. The altar's open. Some of you may need to come up here today and just get some things right with the Lord. That's between you and Him. It's not between anybody else but you and Him. Will you come today?